So I don't know if you've ever heard of the ancient myth of Narcissus. It is one in which there is this beautiful young man, and the moment he sees himself in the reflection of water, he sees how beautiful he is, and he just stares and focuses only on himself. He forgets about his family, he forgets about his beloved, and ultimately he just looks at himself over this lake, so much so that he doesn't eat, he doesn't drink, he withers up, and then he gets exhausted and he falls in and dies. It's a very strange story, but that's also where we get the word narcissism from. It's from this guy. Now, that story is kind of like an anti-Trinitarian love. And it's a parody. Because Narcissus, he's looking at himself and he sees that he's the most beautiful thing he's ever seen. But if you think about it, God the Father gazes upon that perfect Word who is the most beautiful. It's the perfect reflection of the Father. And there is this powerful, loving gaze back and forth, so much so that love is so powerful that the very love itself from the Father and the Son is the Holy Spirit. But the parody of this is that while Narcissus, he looks at himself in such a way that he just shrivels up and he forgets everyone else and he becomes self-absorbed in an evil way. The power of the Trinity is there is this powerful, beautiful love that doesn't wither up, but it is generous and it pours itself out. The Father pours out. St. John of the Cross would say there's only one word that he has spoken, and there's nothing else he needs to say. The Word contains everything. Jesus is that Word coming to us. Total generosity of the Father. The Son gives his very heart. Have you ever noticed in Eucharistic miracles, whenever they study a Eucharistic miracle, they find that it's heart tissue. It's literally Jesus giving us his heart, saying, I'm giving everything to you. I'm lavishing my very heart, my body, blood, soul, and divinity upon you in the Eucharist. And both the Father and the Son, they lavish out the Spirit upon us, poured forth on the day of Pentecost and given to us when we are baptized and strengthened in our confirmation. So this is not a shriveling of love. It is not a self-absorption that leads into a black hole. But their very communion of love is so generous that it just pours itself out in infinite divine mercy. That's why St. Thomas Aquinas would say the first act of mercy is creation, pouring out this love into non-being and creating. So if we are made in God's image and likeness, the more that we look like him, the more that we act like him, not being like Narcissus, focused on ourselves with a self-absorption that withers us away and in a sense pushes everyone else away, but rather this ability, like the Holy Trinity, to lavishly pour out oneself in being a gift, not self-absorption. So when we look at the gospel today, we have these two ways. Is Judas representing this lavish generosity of God? Not at all. He is someone that has been so poisoned about thinking about himself, like Narcissus, He just looks at himself, and he makes decisions only in accord with how will they satisfy his selfish desire. So much so that he even uses words that seem very noble and kind and thoughtful, such as, why was this oil not sold for 300 days' wages and given to the poor? Seems like a beautiful thing to say. And yet, John, the writer of this gospel, says he didn't say that because he cared about the poor, but he was the one who was stealing from the money bag. And so he wanted to have that money in the money bag that they would be giving to the poor so that he could take it. But do you see how he's so consumed with being a narcissist that he gets stuck and he actually can't think about the good deed that's happening to Jesus, this lavish mercy, but also it keeps him away from even having any consideration of the poor. So Judas is not the one that we should be following. He is Narcissus. And very sadly, he focuses so much on himself that he doesn't even see God's mercy available for him when he falls. And he sadly falls into his own destruction. But then we have this other way, this way of generosity towards Jesus. We have Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. And all of them are part of that way. Martha is serving from her heart. Yes, we do know the story about how she was anxious and she was forgetting about the one thing, but it seems like she's kind of learned her lesson in the midst of that, and she's serving now from a place of the heart. There's this generous gift. Lazarus is generously spending his time with the one who rose him from the dead. I mean, can you imagine the conversations that they had? What was it like being dead and now you're alive? And you're the one who actually rose me from the dead. I mean, that must have been a really cool dinner conversation. But Lazarus is lavishing time spending with the one who is the most important of all. But of all of these three siblings, Mary of Bethany is that crowning glory of lavishing love. It says that she takes this very expensive ointment worth 300 days' wages, an entire year of work pretty much, and she anoints the feet of Jesus in such a way that all of that aroma is just filling the entire house, which is very much a symbol of her heart just being broken open, just pouring itself out in love. And even in this love that is so intense that it seems to kind of break social convention, because she takes her hair and she dries the feet of Jesus. And that would have been a very shocking thing, because women would be veiled, and to unveil their hair is a sign of profound intimacy. And so in a very real way, there is this sign of showing Jesus is this divine bridegroom. And he has poured out everything, and he's getting ready in 6 days to pour out the new covenant in his blood. And so Mary is, in a sense, previewing. She's like a preview of what will come, because the Lord even says, take this oil, the rest of it that was there, and let it be for my burial. And so it's that sense of just that deep, deep love being poured out that ultimately is being poured out upon the body of the Lord that has died for us. So she's the one that shows us this lavishness. She's the one that's not narcissist like Judah, or like Judas, but she is the one that's imitating the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit's outpouring of love. And it comes first, as St. John would say, We love because he loved us first. And where do we encounter his love in a profound way? It's in every mercy, but particularly in the Paschal mystery, the suffering, death, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is God's definitive spoken word of mercy, revealing the very face of the Father. And so in the mystery of the Eucharist, this is where God comes to us, showing us the depth of his love in the Trinity. And it's that lavish pouring out. There's nothing more that he can pour out. There's no other gift or blessing that's more than what we receive in Holy Communion. Because it's Jesus, it's infinite. We can't add anything to what Jesus did on the cross for us. So as we receive this heart of God, we're called to respond like Mary. Like Mary, Mother of God, but also like Mary of Bethany, who's willing to take the finest and waste it on the Lord. Do we waste time with Jesus? When we come, do we come with a guarded heart? Do we come with a Judas heart that's maybe focused on, what am I going to get out of this? Sometimes maybe we do that with Mass. And maybe we look at the negative things. Ah, it wasn't good here, it wasn't good here, it wasn't good here. And sometimes we leave kind of cranky. I didn't like the music. I didn't like how the preacher was preaching all the time. Whatever it is, but if we really think about it, all those things are icing on the cake. Because we're walking away with the greatest prize, the greatest gift, the greatest perfumed oil, greater than this nard. We're walking away with God's very beating heart, snuggled next to our heart, hugging our heart, and saying, I love you, and I am always here to be your deliverer and your savior. Don't be afraid. So no matter what happens at Mass, even if it's from a sense perception, the most boring Mass you've ever experienced, if you walk away cranky, you're being like a Judas heart, saying, what am I going to get out of this? But then forgetting that Jesus has just given you his heart. If we get this right in this time of National Eucharistic Revival, it will open our heart to see, even in the most ordinary of places, the majesty of God. And when that starts to happen, then it also pours out in the way that we enter into Mass. And that then can be a contagion that's holy, that can open other people that are around us in the parish to be able to grow as well. And then all of those things, such as the music, the preaching, the sense of reverence, all of these things, they start coming alive because you focused first on first things first. And so be like Mary of Bethany. Come in every celebration of Mass and take the nard of your heart, the most costly part of your heart, and don't hold back. No matter what's happening in all of the surrounding things that are helping us enter into the mystery, whether they are top-notch, praise God. If they're struggling, we'll still praise God to say, this is an opportunity. I think even J.R.R. Tolkien talked about this once in his sometimes experience of Mass, where he said, even if these things are kind of, you know, need a little bit of work, to say this is an opportunity to grow in that purification of love, to say, am I here just for what I get out of it, or am I here to give my heart to the one who is giving his heart to me totally? So this is what we need to do in the mystery of the Eucharist. And a great place of developing that kind of hunger for this explosive joy that happens in the Eucharist is in Eucharistic adoration. That's where we sit with the Lord. That's where we can lavish our heart on the one who lavished his heart on us first. And we can, in a sense, be frozen in that time of gazing at one another as he says, I love you. And as St. Therese would say, love for love. He loved us first. I'm called to lavish my heart back to him. And the last thing that I'm going to say here, which is really interesting, is that one part about the Lord saying, you will always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me, saying this is a good thing, what she did, lavishing her heart upon me in that moment where Judas is saying, well, why don't you sell that and give it to the poor? So sometimes we can pit our love of the Lord in the Blessed Sacrament against our love and service of the poor in the poor, Jesus in the poor, but they're not supposed to be pitted against each other. And in fact, what Mary of Bethany is doing here is she's actually doing the very thing that will open her heart more to love the poor. So it's not taking away, because even Mother Teresa would mention this, where she would say, to the extent that we learn how to see Jesus in the most blessed sacrament, to the extent that we lavish our heart and really are like Mary of Bethany, pouring our heart to the hidden God here, it then opens our eyes to be sensitive to see the hidden, distressing disguise of the poor in our local community, so that we don't walk over that Lazarus among us, as the rich man did in another parable. So this is also what this time of Eucharistic revival is about. The more that we give our heart here, it shouldn't keep us isolated to not become a narcissist, but rather to be like the Holy Trinity, that as we gaze upon the Lord more and more and love him with all of our heart, it becomes this explosive generosity to say, I want to love him every single place I see him, in every single face of the poor and needy, the lonely and the afraid. So Eucharistic love leads to mercy in action. So let's ask the Lord in a particular way. Help us to gaze upon the Lord in such a way that it breaks our heart open and it pours it out on him, but then also on his broken mystical body in the midst of the world and in the poor. And let's also pray that at every celebration of Mass, we can come here saying, no matter what happens in my parish experience, whether it's a good day or a bad day, I'm walking away with the most precious pearl of great price, and I should be walking away singing and rejoicing and dancing with the prize of the very precious heart of Jesus Christ beating and dancing within me.
Are you a Marian helper? Join our Spiritual Benefit Society and start sharing in the graces of all the daily masses, prayers, and good works of Marian priests and brothers all over the world. Sign up is free and easy. Simply visit micprayers.org. That's micprayers.org. Thank you, and God bless you. Please follow or subscribe to this podcast to receive the latest episodes and updates. If you have been blessed by this podcast, I invite you to leave a review. Reviews greatly improve our podcast ranking and will help spread this podcast to other people throughout the world. Are you enjoying this podcast? I invite you to listen to more shows brought to you by the Marian Fathers of the Immaculate Conception. Join us daily for enriching spiritual content, which will help you on your journey with Jesus Christ. Simply visit divinemercyplus.org for a complete list of our shows. That's divinemercyplus.org. Are you a Marian helper? Join our Spiritual Benefit Society and start sharing in the graces of all the daily masses, prayers, and good works of Marian priests and brothers all over the world. Sign up is free and easy. Simply visit micprayers.org. That's micprayers.org. Thank you, and God bless you.